Having a safe place to live has never been more important than during the pandemic. But as the economic fallout forced millions out of work, many of them struggled to pay their rent. That's why Philadelphia and the state put a moratorium on evictions. The state's moratorium has expired. The CDC has stepped in, and renters in Philadelphia recently got a temporary reprieve. So why are as many as 100,000 households in the city still at risk of eviction? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Ryan Briggs of WHYY's Plan Philly helped us sort this all out. Ryan, tell me about Lucille Davis.
Well, she's 63 years old. She was a nursing assistant, but she's been out of work since mid-April, and she's on disability now with a double knee injury. She's a North Philly resident, and we had talked to her because she's had a lot of trouble finding stable housing. About a year ago, a pipe had burst in the home that she was renting.
But the landlord told me she didn't have the money to fix it.
And told her basically just to leave and find a different place to rent. And eventually settled for a house on a bad block that was kind of falling apart. You know, that she said had sagging ceilings and windows that didn't close all the way. Still cost $900 a month. And she took it because she basically didn't have anywhere else to go.
The whole ceiling was out, and I don't mean a little piece because I got a big old thing like an oval shape. So when you're in the kitchen, you look up, all the crumbs fall down.
The landlord told her, you know, oh, he'd fix it after she moved in, and he never did that.
So what did she do?
Well, she didn't really have much choice at the time, so she moved into that house, and then COVID-19 happens, and then things, you know, start to get worse in the house that she's now moved into. So in early August, the sewer line backed up.
Waste has been in my basement, and the smell and everything was coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
Lucille didn't want to get kicked out in the middle of a pandemic, but her daughter suggested that she withhold rent.
So now my daughter said, Mom, don't give him any more money.
And so that's what Lucille wound up doing. And so her landlord immediately filed to evict her.
Somebody rang my doorbell and I went to the door and it was the man that gave you the papers. All right, I'm really upset now, saying, where's I'm going? I'm crying. Saying, where's I'm going? I'm disabled and I had to stop work as of the 17th because I couldn't work.
But wait a minute, you're not even allowed to evict people during the pandemic, right?
Well, not exactly. You know, a couple of things happened in mid-March of this year when the pandemic started. You know, there was an eviction moratorium that, you know, essentially halted the legal process of evicting residents across Pennsylvania. It was signed by Governor Wolf. And this, you know, sort of continued on and was extended in a piecemeal fashion several times up until about August 31st. And that's when the statewide moratorium expired.
Why did it expire? Did the governor think that people didn't need the help anymore?
No, I think that the governor's position was that he didn't have the authority to extend the emergency order anymore without support of the state legislature. The day that it expired, you know, Wolf essentially held a press conference, in effect begging the General Assembly to act and to essentially create a new moratorium, providing, you know, more relief for renters to avoid what some people, you know, predict will be a wave of, you know, tens of thousands, if not more, evictions sweeping the state.
And the legislature has yet to extend these protections. And that places countless Pennsylvanians, Pennsylvania families at risk for homelessness.
So did the General Assembly do anything?
To date, no. But later the same day, the Centers for Disease Control issued a surprise announcement.
Pennsylvania's eviction moratorium ended on August 31st, but the CDC announced it would extend a nationwide eviction ban through the end of the year.
To qualify, you know, people would have to earn below a certain amount of money. They'd have to prove that they had made some sort of an effort to get rental assistance, and they'd have to sign like an affidavit essentially saying that they couldn't pay because of financial hardships they'd experienced due to COVID, and that they would become homeless if they were evicted. So the bar to qualify for the CDC moratorium, you know, was much higher. Some advocates say that it didn't go far enough.
My name is Jenna Collins. I'm a supervising attorney in the housing unit at Community Legal Services.
So I talked to a legal aid group, Community Legal Services, you know, which represents a lot of indigent clients in Philadelphia. They were obviously happy to see some kind of a protection in place after the statewide moratorium lapsed. But they also say there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty about the new guidelines.
Just because you can't be locked out if you meet this declaration through the end of the year doesn't mean that you're not stacking up all of this back rent. It doesn't provide rental assistance in any way. It doesn't even necessarily waive late fees for these tenants.
According to, you know, CLS attorneys, the system puts a lot of burden on renters to figure that out for themselves and mount a defense in court.
The issue with putting the onus on tenants is that tenants don't always know that they have these protections. And the experience for tenants, even before the pandemic began, was that if you don't know to make the argument when you're in court, then you often lose that protection or the ability to use it.
And it's important to keep in mind, you know, a lot of eviction proceedings in court take place over the course of a couple of minutes. And so putting the burden onto the renter, some people would say, is a, you know, a recipe for more evictions.
When we come back,
I wish I could just move into a senior place and I could live comfortable for the rest of my years.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Ryan Briggs of WHYY's Plan Philly about why as many as 100,000 households in the city are at risk of being evicted as the pandemic continues.
Well, there's, you know, still new developments that might affect some of that. The Philadelphia court system reopened this month, but they independently elected to essentially delay executing evictions for 2 weeks. And then in that period of time, Philadelphia Councilmember Helen Gim introduced a bill in city council that would essentially reinstate Philadelphia's expired eviction moratorium through the rest of the year.
This bill has been endorsed by the governor, who is also calling upon the state legislature to take similar action. No one entity can handle our eviction crisis by itself.
So this is still sort of a big issue in Philly, and a lot of people that would be affected by it are in precarious positions. Some 70% of evictions in Philly, studies have found, target Black residents, 74% target women, and 90% of evictions are, you know, over non-payment of rent. So it's essentially not tenant behavior necessarily, but just people, you know, running out of money.
What do landlords have to say about all this?
Well, local landlord groups like the Homeowners Association of Philadelphia, they say their members are at a breaking point as well. They say that these renter protections, these eviction moratoriums, you know, have hurt property owners financially. And they often will highlight, you know, smaller time owners, you know, who have tenants that aren't paying but are still responsible for paying mortgage or, you know, other costs related to the housing. Paul Cohen, you know, attorney I'd spoke to, says he'd like to see the government essentially provide funding to both renters and landlords to, in effect, you know, prop up the rental industry. You know, while there have been some programs like that, I guess his group, you know, would say that it's not enough, that you could also see major disruption to the rental market if, say, there was like a wave of foreclosures or landlords having to walk away from providing rental units.
What about Lucille, Ryan, where does she stand right now?
Well, Lucille is, you know, currently getting some advisement from a housing advocacy group, and I believe is going to attempt to dispute her eviction when her hearing comes up later in the year. But her larger situation, I think, is, you know, a lot more dire, which is that, you know, she has told me, you know, that she really doesn't want to be in this house.
I wish I could just move into a senior place and I could live comfortable for the rest of my years.
What she'd really like to do was, you know, move into kind of 55 plus, you know, senior living environment. Just, but the reality is that those are actually really hard to come by, particularly, you know, for people that are living on a fixed income.
This obviously affects a lot of people, and probably more people as the pandemic continues. And it seems like it's in a lot of flux. Why do you think protecting renters has been so complicated?
You know, I think it relates to some of those comments from the landlord group that we mentioned. I mean, this is an economic interest. You have powerful business interests that are involved in this, and you're essentially talking about a sort of professionalized group, which is landlords. You know, they pay themselves to keep up with these issues. And on the other side, you have tenants who tend to be more people in poverty. They're a weaker political constituency. I would say also, you know, as a result, it becomes kind of an obscure issue for the average person. Philly has always done a lot of evictions. I think the prior year was something like 19,000 evictions, and that's before the pandemic. But the average person, you know, has never been inside of an eviction courtroom. And I think they maybe have a sort of stilted view of how these things play out. You know, we're talking about a renter here who had an eviction proceeding initiated against her at a time when most people would say, oh, you're not allowed to do that. You know, it's probably fine. And if not, you know, I imagine maybe this person might get a lawyer and have their day in court and, you know, this would all just be sorted out. But the reality of it is that the system doesn't often work like that. And a lot of it has to do with the, you know, kind of tenuous position that a lot of renters are in.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us and breaking all of this down for us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That was Ryan Briggs of WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Dern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd-Circa, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help for this episode from Ariella Cohen. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and well. We'll talk Thursday.